we've been studying for about the last year now. The theme has been Midnight Bible Stories, and there's a bunch of them in the Bible. We all come across dark times as we walk with the Lord. He brings us to these midnight times. The darkest of times brought forth the heroes of faith in the Old Testament. In Hebrews 11 highlights that, and every one of those, if you think about it, went through midnight times in their lives, many of them sometimes. And so we've been going a little bit back and forth between Old Testament, New Testament, midnight Bible stories. We're going to get to one in the 12th chapter of Acts concerning Peter, and we've been working our way there for several months now. But we're doing a history on Peter, it seems, was where the Lord took us on this. Because studying Peter, you can kind of relate, I think, in your own life. I didn't see that the first or second time I heard it either. You know, and Peter, there's a lot of threes associated with Peter. Three times this and three times that. And he had three sermons that he preached in Scripture. David just read one of them. The first one was on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. There was a couple others that are recorded in Scripture. One of them is in the 10th chapter of Acts. It's a short sermon. We've read it in the last two or three weeks. It was preached at the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. And Peter had to be convinced by the Lord, by the Holy Ghost, actually, that he should go there. And he had 2 days' journey to get to Cornelius' house from where he was at in Joppa. And so he had time to change his mind. But, you know, we have time to change our mind, too, in some of the directions that the Lord takes us. But if the Lord tells us to do something, as plainly as he told Peter, we better follow his instructions. Now, think about it. What happened at Cornelius' house? They all received the Holy Ghost, just like happened on the day of Pentecost. And we're still talking about it today, nearly 2,000 years later. And how long a meeting was that? We're not told. How long did they speak with tongues? We're not told. I've been to some meetings where the outbreak in tongues lasted an hour. And it might have lasted an hour. It might have lasted 15 minutes. It might have lasted 2 hours. We're not told. But there was no doubt that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 10, 46, it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." So, we mentioned last week that the purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost isn't so we can just go around speaking in tongues. That's just the sign and evidence of it. There's a power that we have received as a gift from God when Jesus sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to us to guide us, to teach us the things which he has said, the word of God. It's the Holy Ghost that does that. Did not our heart burn within us, the disciple says, as he spoke to us on the way? He was full of the Holy Ghost, Jesus was. Well, how about us when we hear the truth preached? We're just, you know, we're just overjoyed. And so... what was that song we just sang about? You know, wasn't it Joy Is Mine or something like that? Yeah. So now I've got, and I get some comments and some emails during the week, usually on my lessons, and there were some questions raised concerning the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to go into the questions, but I am going to go over some things today that these that receive the Holy ghost in Cornelius's house had available to them. There was a lot of potential there for the future. The Holy Ghost is forward-looking. Why was he sent to us? To prepare us for what? To run the race that we're supposed to run? To have God's best? We'll talk about that a little bit. So I want to look at some points of help that the Holy Ghost made available to those that were filled with the Holy Ghost in the house of Cornelius. And I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 12 to start with. And of course, they didn't know this. And perhaps Peter didn't know this either, because this is Paul's gospel. But in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll start in verse 4, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost that Paul mentions here, starting in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And here he goes over the 9 gifts. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Did you notice the Trinity there? Read those 2 verses again until you see it. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit, here's the first one, the word of wisdom. To another, here's the second one, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, the third one, faith by the same Spirit. To another, this is the fourth one, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, and this is the fifth one, the working of miracles. That's different from the gifts of healing. The sixth one, to another, prophecy. That's the sixth one. To another, the seventh one, discerning of spirits. To another, and this is the eighth one, diverse kinds of tongue. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're given a tongue. The Lord gives you a language. It might be some dialect of Chinese or Vietnamese or whatever. It might be a language, it's a heavenly language. It might be a language that's a lost language. We don't know. But then there are those that get different kinds of tongues. So that's the gift of the Holy Ghost also. To another, the interpretation of tongues. We hear that quite frequently in this assembly. That's a gift. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now there were 9 of these gifts. When we did our number study, do you remember the number for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost? You used to, but you forgot. And there's a cheat sheet in the back of the church too now. It looks like this. But, well, think about this. 1 is a number for God. 2 is a number for Jesus. There's also some other meanings. 3 then would be the number for the Holy Ghost. Okay. We just went over 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. 9 is a multiple of 3 times 3. 9 is a number of finality or divine completeness. Finished product. What do you think the Holy Ghost has given to us for? To make us a finished product. Well, there's 3 lists of 9 that we're going to go over today, which makes 27. 27, anybody remember that one? This is not in my notes. Preaching the gospel. How is the preaching of the gospel effective? By the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, go to Galatians 5. And these are scriptures that you guys are familiar with, and you can study these out further on your own, and I'm not here to cover these per se. I'm just pointing these out. And in Galatians 5:22, we'll make reference to this quite a bit here this morning. There's a ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit found in Galatians 5. And if you read the Galatians 5, you'll find a lot of the emphasis placed on the workings of the Holy Ghost in that chapter. But Galatians 5:22 says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is, first one, love. There's going to be nine of these also, ninefold fruit. Second one, joy. Third one, peace. The fourth one, long-suffering. The fifth one, gentleness. The sixth one, goodness. The seventh one, faith. The eighth one, meekness. And the ninth one, temperance. Against such there is no law. And there still is no law against these things. Okay? Think about it. These ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ manifested these qualities. Now think about this. Will the bride of Christ manifest these same properties? Of course, she will manifest these very same qualities. Now, I'll go to 1 Corinthians 13. Paul spent a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 discussing the different purposes of the Holy Ghost. And we're specifically not going to dig into all nine of these, this ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to look at each one individually. But we're going to look at the first one a little bit here, and I want you to see some things. And you can study out the rest of these, and there'll be a lengthy study when you get through. The first one was love in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is, first one, love. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, he listed the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, which we just went over. And then he wrote a whole chapter about love, 1 Corinthians 13, where he amplified 16 things concerning love. And David mentioned this morning, if you were awake and paid attention and can remember that far back, the number 16 is the number of love. And the bride of Christ will possess these qualities, as we mentioned. And one of them was love. And he describes this further in 1 Corinthians 13. And it is the Holy Ghost who works these attributes, if you will, into the lives of the full overcomer. So in 1 Corinthians 13, the word charity is used. It correlates, is the same as love. So we can say the same thing. 1 Corinthians 13:4. And we'll read through verse 8. Charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You almost have to turn off the evening news if you're going to follow these instructions, right? Rejoice not in iniquity, that's all we hear about. You very seldom hear a little truth. Okay, verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there'll be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So there's some notes I found that Brother Hill wrote. He wrote, you know how he used to like to just pick out words and amplify things? He wrote down words that kind of bring some additional thoughts here to what was said here. So we go back to the first one. Charity suffereth long. It speaks to patience. You can write that under that if you want. The long suffering of Galatians 5:22 speaks to patience also. Then we read that charity is kind, and that addresses kindness. And that's all very close akin to the gentleness of Galatians 5:22. Charity envieth not. Now here's one I had to think about, because it really does show a heart of generosity. It envieth not. And it's a quality of graciousness that is also related to the goodness of Galatians 5:22, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit we read about this morning. We read here that charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And this is Holy Spirit-guided humility. And that is an absence of pride. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The next one is charity doth not behave itself unseemly. And this addresses to courtesy, which is gracious politeness. Sometimes you have to really let the Holy Ghost guide how you react to people. You know, courtesy. It's a quality that'll be found in bridal saints. Notice how you talk to others as you drive. You'll think about this maybe a little bit more. I'm speaking to me here, okay? Because we're surrounded by what? Never mind. Okay. People that don't know how to drive as well as you do. Again, it takes the full overcoming power of the Holy Ghost to work these outstanding qualities of love into the heart, into the life of a full overcomer. We read here that charity seeketh not her own. In other words, that shows unselfishness. Unselfishness. Charity is not easily provoked. And it highlights having a good temper versus a bad temper. You know, you're not easily provoked. And a lot of us can be real good provokers. I excel in that quality, which I need to have a victory over myself. So we can state it this way. Don't expect a full overcomer to have a temper tantrums. And for in so doing, it shows an area in one's life that still needs overcoming. We're a work in progress. We have things to overcome. And we don't choose what they are. But we do need to realize the Holy Ghost was given to us for this kind of purpose, to help us along these lines so we can have the perfect, fulfilled life and grow up to be like Christ. Okay? Let him grow up in us. Charity thinketh no evil. It speaks to, now here's the word Brother Hill wrote, guilelessness. which means simply being without trickery or deceit. Okay. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And this expresses a heart of sincerity, interested in all the things of the Word of God, the Word of truth. And after all, the truth is in Jesus. And you can read that in Ephesians 4:21. And think about this. Does not your heart also rejoice when you hear a rightly divided truth? Oh, yeah. You latch on to that, don't you? The Holy Ghost helps us with these things. Okay, the last part here. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And this is just a continuation of the thought of the all things of the Word of God, which the Holy Ghost is given to help us with, to help us learn, to help us remember, and help us to love as we run our individually designed race course to win Christ. We're a bunch of race course running lovers. If you read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians with that attitude. Charity never faileth, means that love holds its place and accompanies us and adorns us for eternity and magnifies all the qualities that we read in Galatians 5:22, where we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that was interesting what we just read there. And then there are also 9 offices of the Holy Ghost. And some of these take us back to the book of John. John 16, we'll go there first. The Holy Ghost, the first one we're going to talk about, is the fact that the Holy Ghost is the reprover, that is the convictor, the one who brings to light the following 3 things we're going to read about found in John. And John 16:8, we'll start there. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness, and he will reprove the world of judgment. Verse 9 explains this, of sin, because they believe not in me. That's Jesus speaking here. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The second one is the Holy Ghost is the agent of the new birth. This takes us back to John 3. So you've read these things before, I know, but we'll, you know, we're going over it again and pointing out where it rightly fits in. So the Holy Ghost is the agent of the new birth. John 3:5, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Has anybody seen wind? No. You've seen the results of wind, but you don't see it. Okay. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, and then go to Romans 8:16. We'll find the third thing that the Holy Ghost is, one of his offices. The third one is the Holy Ghost is a witness to sonship. Romans 8:16, and I'll read it from a paraphrased translation. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are the children of God. You know, you get that little unction of something speaking to you in your heart this year. That's the Holy Ghost talking to you. You might as well learn to listen. All of us, includes me. Fourth thing, one of his offices is, he's a comforter. John 14:26, and we'll read a couple verses in John 14 and a verse in John 15 and a couple in John 16. And these are probably underlined in your Bible, highlighted, whatever. John 14:26 says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, so there's no doubt who he's talking about here, because the Holy Ghost is the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:16, a few verses back, Jesus told his disciples, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We've talked about this before. How long is the Holy Ghost given to us? Read this verse again until you read the word forever. Okay. John 15:26. But when the Comforter, that's the Holy Ghost, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That is one of the offices of the Holy Ghost, to testify of Jesus. And then John 16:7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when did that happen? On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, which we read about this morning with David. The fifth office of the Holy Ghost, and we just read this, he is our guide and teacher into all of the truth. That's John 16:13, where, maybe we didn't read it, but we'll read it now. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's forward-looking. Okay. The blind need some kind of guide to be their eyes. And so in one aspect, this is what the Holy Ghost is to us. The Holy Ghost, among his other duties, is to open spiritual eyes and to show you things to come, things that it takes spiritual eyes to see, Holy Ghost enlightened eyes. When you see it, you go, oh, yeah, how come I never seen that before? Because the Holy Ghost opens it up to you. John 14:26, again, we read this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And then these next couple of verses I'm going to give you reference the fact that, and this is the sixth point of one of the offices of the Holy Ghost, that he is a director of ministers. Go to Acts 13. We'll read a few verses there, and you'll see this, how the Holy Ghost is the director of ministers. Acts 13, 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, that's Saul of Tarsus. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." They were called to be apostles unto the Gentiles. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and they began their first missionary journey. Okay? In Acts 16, 6, we find this. And this is, I believe, on Paul's second missionary journey. "Now, when they had gone through Perga and the regions of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." The Holy Ghost is the director of ministers, and he forbid them to go and preach the word in Asia. "After they were come to Mysia and assayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." If you recall and remember that part of the story, you wonder why. They went to a lot of not neat places where there were a lot of people that could have used the Lord, but the door wasn't open to them. But what happened during that time was the gospel got to be preached one-on-one, Paul to Timothy and Silas, okay? They learned Paul's gospel. So it wasn't wasted time. And there are also many other scriptures that point out how the Holy Ghost is the director of ministers. The seventh thing that the Holy Ghost, one of his offices is, he's the inspirer of scriptures. Well, I hope so. Yeah. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The inspiration of God, the part of God that does this, is the Holy Ghost. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Peter acknowledged this also in 2 Peter 1. I want you to turn there so you can see this. And what Peter wrote was inspired of the Holy Ghost. Also, whatever any scripture that's in the Bible was inspired of the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:20. Peter writes, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And what David read this morning, I guess he didn't read this. Let me just go back and make sure I got my verse right. Acts, either 1 or 2. Yes, it's 1:16. I did have it correct. It says here, "Men and brethren, this scripture must have needs been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." Okay, the eighth office of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost is the distributor of the nine gifts we read about in 1 Corinthians 12. And then the ninth office of the Holy Ghost, we find that the Holy Ghost is the agency of the Trinity, who calls and prepares the bride to forever be the wife of Jesus. Many scriptures bring this out, and so many that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, these things are hidden in the shadows and are not seen by uninspired eyes and are not taught by people that are uninspired on television that you watch. And so you don't hear a lot of this. But how about the story of a bride for Isaac? Few realize that this story in Genesis 24 is a type and shadow of the preparing of a bride for our heavenly Isaac, who is Jesus. And we did a study a long time ago on Genesis 24, and we find that there were 9 things that Abraham's servant, who is typical of the Holy Ghost in that chapter, Eliezer, and I'll give you these 9 things, he gave to Rebekah the bride-to-be in Genesis 24. Abraham's servant gave Rebekah an earring, 2 bracelets. The 3rd thing was jewels of silver. The 4th thing was jewels of gold. The 5th thing was raiment. The 6th thing was camels to ride. 7th thing, abundant provision for the long journey. Why were we given the Holy Ghost? For abundant provision for the long journey. 8th thing, instructions concerning Isaac. And 9, the ultimately, he brought her through all kinds of obstacles and guided her to him. So the Holy Ghost is the one who prepares the bride of Christ to rule and reign with him. We ran over. I'm bad.